In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a very familiar gospel, and it must apply to how you live your life every day. I want to give an example about it from St. Jonah of Hankou, who we commemorate today. But first, we want to talk about the gospel a little bit, because there's something very beautiful in this gospel that we must have resonate in our heart. And if it resonates in your heart, then you know what to do with your life. And you know that you can do it. It's very, very important. So, of course, our Lord became man so that he would save us. God is unknowable, completely unknowable. And yet he became man so that we could know him. This is why he did it. He did it because he loves man. He became man and lived the perfect life as a man so that we could also live this perfect life, entering into it, beginning by baptism, and then all of the grace that is given subsequent to baptism in our struggles, our falling down, our getting up. We come to experience God in our heart in an intimate way, as the breath in our nostrils, as the scripture says. So this is why he came to earth, and he loves man. He loves man above everything. And this gospel shows how much he loves man. So there's a widow in Nain. She has an only son, and he's dead. So there's the funeral procession. There's many, many people that are with the procession, and Jesus sees this. And what does he do? First, he goes up to her and says something to her that only he has the authority to say. He says, "Weep not." Stop weeping, actually. Only he can say that, because only he can back up his words by doing something so that she is able to stop weeping. And the Lord says to you and I, stop weeping. Stop complaining about your life. Stop being so sad about this and that. Because he has the authority, the ability, if we apply ourselves. Because it's not magic. It's not just decreed. It's lived. If we apply ourselves, then our weeping will go away. Our sorrow will go away. Our depression will go away. Our sadness will go away. Our being out of sorts will go away. He has the authority to tell us, stop doing this, because he has the ability to bring us to a good conclusion. So he says this to her. Probably people looked at him very strangely. What are you telling this woman who has just lost her son to stop weeping? Especially because the culture was there might have been paid mourners that were purposefully weeping, because that was part of the culture of the day. So he comes then to the bier, and he touches it. He touches the bier that has a dead body on it, which means that it is unclean, which means that he would be ritually unclean. Except he came not to just be subject to the law, he came to fulfill the law. And the law, the highest part of the law, of course, is love. Since God is love and we were made to be like God, we were made in his image to fulfill at the end of our life to be in his likeness. Of course, we must love. So he touched an unclean object and made it stop. That's how much he loves human nature. This shows intimacy, familiarity. We must have this intimacy and familiarity with Jesus Christ. I have noticed very much that many people don't feel the touch of Jesus Christ. They don't feel the touch of God. They might do certain things. They might say their prayers. They might do this. They might do that. But they're not experiencing God. You were born to experience God. He wants to touch you. How do you feel when you see a little infant like Oliver Daniel there? What do you want to do? Don't you want to just hug him? Don't you want to kiss his head? Don't you? Don't you? Don't you want to just squeeze him? But that's just, isn't it a natural response? Every human being who has a heart, when they see a baby, there's a certain love that comes out, isn't there? And that love is expressed by touching, right? The Lord loves. And so he touches us. In this case, he touched someone literally, because he's above the law. He wasn't unclean. He was the one who created the law. So he's the one who can fulfill the law. And then, of course, then he, the bier, the people bearing the man, stood still. It's a critical element. If you don't stand still when the Lord touches you, you're not going to hear him. I had a good friend. I still really grieve his loss. He said to me, it's hard to say it, It's hard to hear somebody in a conversation when you got a freight train going through your head. I loved him dearly. He had too many freight trains, and he lost. You've got to stand still when Jesus Christ touches you. Very critical. This is why I tell you about prayer and about the Jesus prayer. This is why I tell you about coming to liturgy with expectation to be touched by God. That's the only reason to be here, is to be touched by God, to experience God to the best of your abilities, which of course He will enhance, since your abilities are nothing. My abilities are nothing. But if we have intent, God will come to us and He will make Himself known to us. He will touch us and we will feel His touch. This is critical. You have to look for this touch. You have to seek out this touch. Now, if you're full of anger or full of passions or full of whatever, you won't feel the touch. He might touch you, but you won't stop. Imagine if the people who were bearing the man when Jesus touched the bier thought, what is this guy doing? First he insults the woman, tells her not to cry, and then he's trying to stop us. And they just kept going. But of course the Lord is so powerful with His touch that He, by the force of His personality, by the force of His dual nature of God and man, had forced the bier to be stopped. And then of course He told the man, I say to thee, arise. Because He can do it. He has the authority to say, arise, get up, dead man, and walk. He has the authority to help you. He will help you. But you have to really work on standing still and listening, getting rid of the passions that make it impossible to hear that freight train in your head, and stand still so you can hear Him. Now let's turn a little bit and talk about St. Jonah. St. Jonah was someone who definitely was touched by Christ. Definitely felt His touch. And what did he do when he felt His touch? The only thing that we must do this if we are touched by Christ. Otherwise, well, I don't think a person can be really authentically touched by Christ and not do this. If their soul is open and they're touched by Christ, they will do this. Saint Jonah touched many people. Now, this is an era when bishops were kind of like high and mighty. You know, you went to the bishop trembling because he was kind of austere and removed. And this is a time of really too much scholasticism in the Russian church, where basically if a person was talented, they were just raised up to a professorship. And that was considered to be the epitome of church life, etc. St. Jonah was raised up to a professorship. He hated it. He didn't want to do it. But he was obedient to it. But eventually, he became basically a missionary bishop in Manchuria with very rough, coarse people. I know about that. I don't know about Manchuria, but I can tell you about a lot of rough, coarse people. You go into prison and you see people that barely understand Christianity. And they have a penitentiary mentality. So I know exactly what he was up against. People who talked about God a little bit, but really, God wasn't touching their lives. So what did he do? He got right in the middle of it. He rolled up his sleeves and he worked. And he labored for them. He built an orphanage and a school. And there was free meals given out to the poor. I don't remember how many, 200 or something. I guess I could look at this life that I have in front of me. Something like that. And he was a laborer. And he was a very profound preacher. You know why he was so good at preaching? Not just because he had education. He lived what he preached. It was in his heart. And eventually, these coarse people, Russians and those who were foreigners, right? Those who were of another language, of another culture, gathered around him because they saw this man is real. This man touches us. You must do this. If you want to be touched by Christ, then when you feel anything remotely like his touch, you must touch others. I'll give you a warning. If you want to do that, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. Because we folk we're messy. We're difficult. We're cantankerous. We're devious, mischievous, weak. So when you touch people, you get right in the middle of all of that. Okay? It's really easy to say, I want to support, you know, the church in Haiti. Great if you do that. Thank you very much. If you want to support the dormitory that we're building in Kenya, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's kind of easy, really. I'll tell you what's really hard. Really touching people, really getting down where they are and trying to bring them up to a higher level and finding out that most of the time they don't go. But you do it because of love. This is what Jonah did. Now, he built a school and et cetera, et cetera. But probably his, shall we say, batting average wasn't that good. Probably the people that he encountered, only a small percentage of them really gave their lives to Christ, really felt the touch of Christ, and then extended that touch to others. It's always that way. With Jesus Christ, it was that way. So, of course, it would be that way with him. But he was a great, profound saint. I want to tell you something personal from me about him. I told you last week about the sermon that most influenced me in my life. And I told you that I don't remember literally a word of it in terms of verbatim. I can't remember any of it. But it has absolutely influenced every single day of my priestly life from the time I heard it. That you must give your blood to your flock. That when a priest comes to church and serves a service, that is only really the formal part of it. The priest must be serving and praying for his flock and praying with blood for his flock. And that's what I have tried to do since I've learned of that. It doesn't matter if it's a liturgy or Vespers or Maleben. There's always moments when there can be mental prayer for one person or two or ten or everyone in general. And you should try to also practice that as well. Because we are in a moment now that is full of grace. More full of grace than any other time you will encounter this week. Because God visits his people during the divine liturgy in a special way. He wants to touch all of us. Now, some of us will feel the touch and some of us will not. But he wants to touch us during divine liturgy. And then you should extend this touch to the others around you. I don't know, have you ever done this? You're driving in the car and you're kind of thinking, wow, I'll bet you that person passing me is having a problem right now. I wonder what that person's doing. Oh, there's four people in that car. I wonder, are they doing all right? Or are they in a crisis or whatever, right? So many people are having problems. Which one of us would say that we have no problems, right? We might not want to stand up and tell everybody all of our problems, but we've got them, don't we? We got all kinds of things going on. But if we try to touch others, the Lord will definitely, definitely help us with our problems. So the thing about St. Jonah is that I was at his glorification. There were two glorifications. There was one on the west coast, which was the bigger one, where more of the bishops were. There was one on the east coast. And I happened to be there that day. I was a deacon. And I was just amazed. Of course, his story was told and such. And I've tried to emulate him since I heard about his life. And that's why I commemorate him at the end of just about any service. I always say St. Jonah of Manchuria. The reason I do that is because I want to have the kind of ministry he has. Now, I don't have the intelligence he has and the talent that he had. It's good to have talent if you're a priest. If you don't have talent, well, I guess you just got to do the best you can, and that's what I do. But if you have talent, like for building things and that sort of thing, and you combine it with this desire to touch people, then you have something very special, such as St. Jonah, St. John of Kronstadt, St. John Maximovich, St. Innocent of Alaska, incredibly talented person, an incredibly spiritual person. Well, I'm just trying to at least be spiritual, if I can't be talented. Jonah worked very hard. He worked so hard that really he worked harder than he should have. And eventually his body wore down. And when he was 37 years old, he had angina. That's very early to have angina. And evidently, sometimes in the old days, people had bizarre ideas about, you know, how to cure things. Maybe when you were a kid, remember how they told you should put butter on a wound, you know, a burn? That's ridiculous. That's not a good idea. And yet that was what everybody did, right? Every mother of I'm 61. I guarantee you, anybody my age, their mother put butter on the on a burn. That doesn't make any sense at all. And also, this doesn't make any sense. Because he had angina, he thought, I don't know, there must have been a folk remedy where he gargled with kerosene. You know, I mean, that's not very sensible. But, yeah, it used to be that the doctor would, you know, take your blood right? Not to test it, just to spill it on the floor, to let your blood out. Because of that, he developed septicemia, blood poisoning. And he died at 37 years old. But it's because he worked himself to death. But on the day of his death, on the night of his death, I have to read this stuff, if I can get through it. This is who we should try to be like. That we work really hard because of love. We touch people because of love. There were throngs of people who gathered for the funeral, and there was universal mourning. A 10-year-old boy was paralyzed, and he was miraculously healed when St. Jonah appeared to him on the night of his repose. And famously, some of you might know this, he said, "You take my legs. I don't need them." The late Archpriest Nikolai Kiklovich, who was from Harbin, he talked about the cured boy. With death, this love of feeling and respect for him did not stop. To the contrary, people began to love and esteem him even more, not as an ordinary mortal person, but as God's saint. This was especially so after the healing by Vladika of the sick adolescent Nikolai, whom medicine could not help and had left him to his own devices. Human help appeared powerless to save the suffering lad, and his family had fallen into despair. Then God's might came to aid the sufferer by the intercession of newly departed Bishop Jonah. Now a hale and hearty man of 27, Nikolai, who was healed in the night and the hour of Bishop Jonah's death, is married with two teenage daughters, has a house, and manages his household. Just a month ago in his apartment, he recounted in detail to the writer this narrative concerning the story of his healing. After a wonderful vision of newly departed Jonah, he immediately woke up and rose that night absolutely healthy, threw away his crutches and started walking around the room. And that was written in 1944. There are other miracles of Bishop Jonah that are recounted here. But the important thing is, if you're going to read about a holy person, if you're going to read about the Lord touching the bier and making it stop, having so much love for man that he touches us, if you're going to read about those things, then you must be moved to change your life because of them. You must order your life because of them. You must touch other people. And if you do this, then you're living a Christian life. And if you have sins, so what? Everybody's got sins. Very few people have extreme virtues. Don't worry about your sins so much. Confess your sins. Repent of your sins. Don't make excuses for your sins. But sin is not going to kill you. Did you know that? What kills you is not repenting of your sin. It's not struggling to be a Christian. You were born to be like Christ, which means you were born to touch others with love. So I hope we can learn from Bishop Jonah's incredible example. And maybe you'll remember his example every time you hear his name when I serve. Every time I serve, I mention his name at the end of the service. Through his prayers, may we learn to touch Jesus Christ and feel his touch and therefore touch others. God bless you.